Blog Talk Radio.
Jag är hebré från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani ivriam Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico. Y amo a la tribu de Straightway. Y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia. And I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Shalom and greetings. Surprise, surprise, I'm your host tonight. I will actually be missing next week's show. Mother Jennifer will sit in for me, not this week. If you caught us last week and you heard my announcement, I'm here. Hallelujah. Mother Chris was going to sit in for me tonight, but I got a surprise for you guys, and I want to just say a few things first. We got 5 Shabbats until the Feast of Trumpets and 6 Shabbats till Atonement. We got 7 Shabbats until the Feast of Tabernacles. That makes it 50 days until the Feast of Tabernacles. Please begin to call in. Please begin to get permission to call in. If you're coming to the land for the first time, you need to receive permission. Put in your call request for Elder Becker to call you back. If you've been here before and you just want to leave your name and number in our book, that would be great for us. We'll start getting our numbers ready and definitely, most definitely be hospitable as always in feeding you and taking care of you to the best of our ability. I am delighted tonight to be with all 3 mothers in Israel. I have Mother Carol to my left, live in the audience. I have Mother Jennifer there in Georgia. And I also have Mother Chris, each of them being called mother by the spiritual gift that is within them and the love that they function and operate in. And I want to welcome them all to the show. Mother Carol, first and foremost, please, let's get a sound check with you sitting all the way over there. You'll have to speak up, Mother, and say a few words.
Hallelujah. Thank you for having me, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer, and greetings, of course, to you also, Mother Chris. First, giving honor to the Most High Yah, the maker and creator of all things and all of us, his servant, Pastor Dow, my sister wives, my fellow mothers, and all the daughters of Israel. I hope you can hear me very well.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, your turn in Georgia. Let's get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. Again, it is an honor to be here amongst everyone. I pray that everyone is doing well. I just want to acknowledge the Most High for his loving kindness, his faithfulness towards us. I'd like to give an acknowledgement to my head, Elder Rufus, and to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, and to my mothers, Mother Carol and Mother Chris. Blessings to you all. Sister Ashley?
Thank you so much. Sounds good. Beautiful surprise, the chat room says, and it really, really is. I just want to bring in and, I guess, usher in the appropriate amount of soberness, at least from my end. There are many times on the show that I'm, you know, fun or encouraging, entertaining, all sorts of different ways that I may sit in the chair and lead the show. But tonight, having all 3 mothers and paying honor and respect to the Spirit of Yah that moves inside of them, and I trust that he will also give them words to edify one or any many of you, and I would like to just bring in that soberness with my speech as well. I'm going to ask them some questions, and we're going to start off with self-hatred, and I hope that it edifies you, but I'd like to first go back through the line one more time and say, is there anything that you would like to say, Mother Carol, before we get started?
Did Mother Chris say anything?
Did she?
No, I don't think so.
You know, that's when you're doing 4 things at once. Mother Chris, welcome to the show. Please, your turn. Let's get a sound check from you.
Hallelujah. Bless you. I'm also here in the audience as well, so I wasn't bothered at all by that, because whenever I can hear Mother Carol and Mother Jennifer speak, it is an honor. So I am very honored to be included in this platform, and I'd like to first give all praises and honors to the Most High Yah, just for calling me and for giving me his Holy Spirit, for choosing me, hallelujah, the Savior of my body, my master, my husband. I'm so grateful for him. You know, I could boast about him all day, but I'll leave it at that for today. Hallelujah. And also our shepherd, Pastor Dow, I'm grateful for him, for his example, for leaving us without an excuse. For him and his entire household, many blessings to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, and as always, my Goshen sisters and brothers and all the children here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for those words. Great way to start off the show, to the acknowledgments of everyone that you called on. I touch and agree to the strength and the beauty of each of them. Mother Carol, please, anything you would like to say before I start asking questions?
I'd say ask away. I've got some notes that I've been taking through the week on self-hatred, but I do want to see what you want us to speak on, so I'll start with you.
All right. And Mother Jennifer, would you like to say anything before we get started?
No, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I'll just wait on you.
All right. This previous week, I had a moment with Mother Carol, and her and I were helping someone with deliverance. Maybe deliverance is a new term for someone listening tonight or someone who might come across YouTube and find out that you can be set free from the things that harass, drive, and torment you and control you and the things that put you in bondage. We had a sister in front of us and with us in deliverance as we tried to, I use the word investigate, but we tried to listen with a very compassionate ear for the circumstances of this woman to see how we can best help her, of course. And Mother had spoke very soundly about self-hatred, and I thought, what better way to start tonight's show with that? So most importantly, when we were speaking to this woman who has struggled with loving herself all of her life, and you could only imagine a background story that she may have, just like many of you have, that leads up to the reason why you don't love you, which, of course, is the enemy of our soul who really comes to war against our minds and make us hate creation and the created being that we are. But as we spoke to her, and she was a melanated woman, I don't expect Mother Carol to remember her words at all, because it's very private and intimate when you're one-on-one with somebody. But I would like to just spark your words, Mother Carol, by asking you to speak briefly to someone, if they were sitting in the room with you now, that had spent their life hating themselves, and specifically directing them to acknowledge who they are and how much their Father loves them.
Thank you so much, Sister Ashley. You know, most of us as women, or even people in general, have experienced self-hatred because of what they've done or what others have done to them, because you were not created to hate. You were not created to hate or despise or reject your own self. In fact, the word says to hate the garment spotted by the flesh, but not the actual flesh. And I do know that it's especially for a lot of melanated sisters and brothers in general, and I believe it has spread to all of the nations. You know, slavery was set up to make us hate ourselves. It was geared to take away the strong heads from us as women, to cause us to look to someone else, and in that, not being able to look and trust in our own men, our strong men of color, I think allowed us to, in some ways, hate ourselves because of that, because if we saw it in them, the weakness that was created in them, which they didn't start out with, I think it caused us to hate ourselves as well. And what I was telling the sister this week was that, you know, when you come into the knowledge of the truth of who you are and how you were created, and whether you be the natural born seed or not, but for some, you realize that you are from the natural born seed, the chosen people, chosen from the smallest group of people in the creation to be his people. And with that, that should bring so much delight in who you are, what you are, how you function. It should affect how you carry yourself, how you think of yourself, because your temple is him and he is you. So you cannot hate something that was created in such glory and such beauty, but the world has taught us so much to look to others and look to this and look to that to be able to be accepted and feel accepted, when we merely just need to look to Yah for his acceptance and those of our people Israel.
Well said, Mother Jennifer. Please add to what she's saying, and then if I could also ask you to share with us your acknowledgement of who you are, being melanated woman and coming from being a proverb and byword woman, you know, a woman of in the past where so much is... you know, you live in the skin. You know what life is like inside you. So tell me a little bit about the acknowledgement of coming to the Father and beginning to love yourself.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to say that you know, you, in order to battle the spirit of self-hate, you have to learn who you are through the eyes of Yah. And with anything that is contrary to Yah, anything at all, that thing has to be torn down first so that the way of Yah can be exalted. So speaking on self-hate, you know, you have to be able to tear down the spirit of self-hatred. The only way is through His word. So you can forget the label that others have put on you, so that you can forget the label that you have put on yourself. You have to be able to look in the book and see what Yah says about you as a woman, as His chosen. And, you know, my identity is only in the Most High. My identity is in the Father. It's in Him. It has nothing to do with me, my flesh. It has nothing to do at all with that. It has everything to do with my submission to Yah, my submission to my head, Elder Rufus. It has everything to do with what I do to help build His home. It has everything to do with what I do to help bring about the vision that He has. So my identity is in Him. And I believe that the world teaches women to have this independent way or independent view of things. And this is how self-hatred can easily come in, because you're not in the role that you were created to be in. And so this is how, this is one of the ways that it can actually come in. Sister Ashley.
Thank you for that. Mother Chris, I'd like to ask you that same line of thinking, but I don't want you to stray away from anything that has dropped into your spirit as you've listened to either mother speak. Was there a time that you remember acknowledging the Most High Yah is the lover of your soul and beginning to love yourself for the first time?
Absolutely. I think about a time coming into the ministry, and because we as women carry ourselves very differently in this walk, and you really have to strip yourself of the things that you've learned in this world, and even the things that you used to wear, the things that you used to look like, how you used to dress, et cetera, it really forces you to have to deal with you. So if a person comes into the ministry, maybe they wore, you know, weaves or lashes or nails or makeup or whatever, and now you have to take all of this off. You wear a head covering. You dress very modestly, and you really have to look in the mirror and deal with yourself. And I think that alone brings about a lot of deliverance, because you can, before, you can hide behind all of those things. And then now you really have to deal with you and really learn who you're called to be as a woman of Yah. And that causes a lot of women to have to make a choice, you know. And so that's something that I learned early on. And I'm very glad that this is the way we came, because what I see in different Hebrew communities is that they don't start there as far as stripping themselves to the bare minimum. And when we have to start there, then we really have to deal with ourselves first.
Thank you for those words. I want to say, before we start our second go-around, that the majority of the hate focus for this culture that we live in is vainly wrapped up in the flesh and the things that you just listed. You know, from eyelashes to nails to the way you dress, to your hair, to your image, to your weight, to your face, to your makeup. And I would have to say, as I lean to you, Mother Carol, the Father's mind, our Abba, our Creator, His mind, would be so much more focused on your spirit and what you produce from inside your heart as He searches your soul. So please tell me a little bit about your thoughts with most hate being wrapped up in the flesh.
Absolutely. And as Mother Chris was speaking, that is so true. And Pastor had mentioned something on his show last night, the term that he coined, the self-inflicted psychotic insecurities. And it is insecurity, but you're brought up and you're taught to be in that. And one thing about coming into this ministry, once you do take off the makeup and the hair and the lashes and really just have to focus on yourself and who you are, loving the way that you look, because that is a big thing for women. And so many times there's so much rejection for your own self or for a specific thing, but, you know, the body parts are there because Yah made you the person that he wanted you to be. He put that particular spirit in your particular body for a specific reason of knowing that you would be one that would be called out, chosen, all of these things. We were, he set us aside from the foundations of the earth, and the mindset of the non-acceptance of his ways and his things, and just not even looking in the book and seeing, like Mother said, what he sees in you. He says you're the apple of his eye. He looks so much on everything that's external that he came in his own flesh and came unfleshly, unappealing. What a beautiful Savior we serve, because to do that, knowing that he was all beauty and all glory and all majesty and all omnipotence, he came in the lowest form that he could to show us how he really sees. Sister Ashley?
Self-inflicted means to be inflicted by oneself, like you are the reason for the affliction. Psychotic would mean to be affected by symptoms in your mind, to lose reality. And insecurities would be uncertainties and anxiousness about yourself, a lack of confidence. So to say self-inflicted psychotic insecurities would be to have things brought upon yourself, losing touch with reality based upon your anxiousness and your lack of confidence. And that is a very severe mental disturbance. Mother Jennifer, please add.
You know, Sister Ashley, you talked about the difference between the flesh and the spirit. The world makes the flesh such an easy fix. You know, like Mother Carol was saying, you can get the fake lashes, you can put the makeup on, you can buy fake hair, you can get plastic surgery, you can make yourself look completely different. You can transform yourself in literally minutes. But the spirit takes work. You know, to work on your character, that takes time. And that is the thing that the Father is actually looking at. So that's another dynamic that is just completely contrary to the dynamic of Yah, that, you know, the flesh is an easy fix, but the spirit, you have to actually work on the spirit. And I think what happens is the world has conditioned women to focus on the flesh. And then when you come this way, you realize that it really takes a lot of work, a lot of dedication, just, you know, a lot of work to get your spirit to where you need to be able to actually grow. And people get discouraged because they don't understand the work that it takes. But it's not a hard thing, you know, like the word says, the way of the transgressor is hard. But it's just something that needs to be done. We haven't been taught to actually put the work in. We haven't been taught what it's like to you know, to work towards something that is worth it. We've been taught to be given everything just like that, to not work towards it, that everything should be easy. And that's just not the way of Yah. So everything that this world has taught us is completely contrary to the way of Yah. And you'll see that as we talk about this tonight. And, you know, this is a part of self-hatred, because what the world has taught is completely against, completely different than the way of Yah. And this is mostly why self-hatred will exist. Sister Ashley?
So in the world, when we were of the world, as you said and used the words cover up, you could cover up many different things, flaws, things you didn't like. You can make yourself someone else. by your dress or your appearance. And as you say, just reiterating that fixing the spirit takes work. So moving to Mother Chris, denying the world as you have and joining the body of Christ with such strength and, you know, paying honor, of course, to your husband and the Most High who has led you, becoming a new creature as you have, what would you say to those out there that it requires to work on your spirit?
Yes, ma'am. It takes lots of time and reflection, time with the Father, meditation, listening to righteous women speak, watching righteous women in their everyday, and striving for something better, deciding that you don't want to go after the ways of the world anymore, realizing that in the world there is no substance in who you were, and learning the value in who you truly want to become. I think about in the world, a lot of women believe that they're the prize and that it's something that that a man needs from them that makes them valuable, and they don't understand the value that comes in being meek and quiet. And I was thinking about a verse in Sirach 26:14, I believe. Yes, that's it. A silent and loving woman is a gift from Yah, and there is nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed. A shamefaced and faithful woman is a double grace, and her content mind cannot be valued. And if we realize that that's what our value is in, outside of the things that the world has taught us, you know, I think that that's a great start.
Well said. Mother Kara, what came into your mind or heart just listening?
Well, just in agreement with what both of them have said, you know, you look to yourself when you come this way, but you're stripped from the things of the world. So all those things that you take off, and you really have to deal with you and who you are, because your character and your personality is going to be defined by your spirit, not by the way that you look. So coming this way is such a blessing that we learn our role and learn who we are, because you really see, we really see ourselves for who we really are.
A lot of times, majority of us will come very desperate into the faith, very desperate for help, very desperate for freedom, very desperate for chains to be broken and changes to be made, and very hopeful in the end results, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And along that journey, you are reaching out and grabbing whatever you can get to add to yourself or take away from yourself to make this new person, when at times you can forget that Yah is doing the molding. You can set this pace or have these thoughts, even this psychotic insecurity or self-inflicted mind that can reach out so desperately to try to remold yourself into someone so quickly that you're losing the grasp of that content mind that Mother Chris just mentioned. But I want you to speak on that pace of change and also allowing things into your spirit for change, you know, because if you're just an open sepulcher, if you're just open to everyone's information, it can be also very confusing. So when the Father is molding you, Mother Carol first, when the Father is molding you, what is the pace like? What should that experience be like with all this information that's in front of us?
Well, one, I think mostly getting into the Word and really understanding that this molding takes time. You've lived 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And then I've seen people that come in and want to be at the status of someone that's been doing it for 40, 50 years in holiness, and it's just not that fast, because anything true and real, you're going to really seek it out and search it out. And the negative thoughts that you have when you first come into the ministry against yourself are what keeps you from Yah being able to do the molding and Yah being able to do the making, because what happens is a lot of times they come in with the self-condemnation, they come in with all the things that they've done, we finally realize, okay, I've been in sin. And in that, instead of loosing that completely and starting out with a fresh slate, you've got all this stuff piled up, and then Yah has to it takes time for you to allow Yah to weed through it when you could actually just rid yourself of it. But in a realistic world, I don't know how many of us that just totally had no condemnation, no guilt, no nothing when we first came in, realizing that we've been lied to, that we've been in sin, that we've sinned against the Most High, that we didn't know who we are, that we have failed Him, that we have done these things. But those things are there to help you to release everything. Knowing that He is our Father and our Yah, you can release all of that and start with a fresh, clean slate. That's why it's so important to come out of the worldly dress and the worldly things you did before, so that you can just be a fresh, open vessel.
Beautiful. And Mother Jennifer, I'm not wanting to, how can we continue to add to ourselves and pace ourselves, as Mother Carol said, without the condemnation reoccurring as others are changing around us, without comparing ourselves even amongst ourselves in the faith? How to set that pace within just you and the Most High. Nothing else, no one else. Rejoice when someone else changes. Rejoice when someone else has a testimony. And then have your own testimony written down. Go ahead.
That's only going to come through your personal relationship with Him. Everybody's relationship is going to be different. Everybody has a covenant with Him. But my covenant is going to be different than someone else's covenant, but it's a personal one. So I have to know who I am in Him. I'm glad Mother Carol talked about, you know, the time that it takes for a woman coming into the faith, because Pastor said this last night. He said it takes 3 years for a woman coming out of the world into the faith before she even begins to turn the curve when it comes to being a submissive daughter of Zion. And He's not just talking about just in the area of rebellion, but it's even in submissive in understanding who Yah says you are, knowing what your value is to Him, you know, being willing to hear how wicked we are and how we have to change, how we have to get deliverance, and being willing to accept the truth about ourselves. So even if we're given a compliment, I notice that women have a hard time even accepting compliments. So I'm given a compliment from my husband, then I need to understand that, okay, he's not going to lie to me. I need to accept the fact that he knows what he's talking about. So instead of just saying, oh, no, it doesn't mean anything, yeah, it does. If he's complimenting you about something, you need to actually accept that. If he's telling you you're wicked, then you need to accept that too. So there needs to be a balance. But I just thought that was good that Pastor mentioned that last night, that it takes 3 years for a woman coming out of the world into the faith before she begins to actually even turn the curve. So we have to give ourselves time to grow, but we don't need to be stagnant, if that makes sense. So there's a balance in everything. And I remember coming into the faith and just being really, really hungry for everything that I could get. I was, on the Straightway Truth website. I was talking to Sister Ashley a lot, talking to Granny Barb a lot, talking to Granny Diane, talking to Mother Carol, you know, just getting what I could and what they told me I would apply. So it's really good to have that time that you need, but to actually actively work on yourself and being willing to hear the truth that you need to hear about yourself and having the heart to accept that truth. Sister Ashley?
I'm going to go back to Mother Carol before I swing back to you, Mother Chris. Let's just, you want to add any words to not being able to receive a compliment?
I actually had that down and in my thoughts and in my notes, Mother Jennifer, when you brought that up, because that's one of the signs that you do have self-hatred is if you cannot receive a compliment, or when someone does say something good about you, whether it be flesh or your nature or your character, your spirit, you have a rebuttal. I so-and-so, so-and-so, or well, I still have this, or I still have this far to go, or all of those things. And that is one of the key signs of self-hatred, where you just cannot receive a compliment. And another one is always speaking negatively of yourself, whether it be your physical condition, whether it be an injury, whether it be something that you don't like about your anatomy, anything, all the negativity, and your spirit it gets fed from that, and then all of a sudden you can't receive anything. And every time you look in the mirror, you have this person that you don't like to see. And one of the other things I wanted to bring up was everything that you think is wrong with you, you always bring that up. Everything. I mean, my nose or my hair or my fingernails, I don't know, just anything negative that you don't like about yourself, you often bring that up in conversation. And that's another one of the signs that shows you have self-rejection, self-hatred, and all of these things, Ashley.
And even self-idolatry, honestly.
Absolutely.
If self is continually on your lips and the first thing on your mind, continually day after day, conversation after conversation, it is something to be considered. Self-idolatry is an issue in this country. Mother Chris, let's jump to you. How can we receive with gladness? It is important. When the word fell on stony ground, it didn't spring up. The word wasn't received with gladness. So I think there's a way that we can hear anyone's speech and anyone's, you know, truth that they're trying to encourage us or edify us with, and we're supposed to receive it with gladness and an encouraging ear. How would we do that?
Well, I think first we have to really understand that we won't be able to hear if we're dealing with all the noise going on in our own heads. And that's what we were talking about with the self-hatred. If you've got all these other spirits ministering to you and you can't hear things that are being spoken, you can't hear truth that's being spoken, you can't hear compliments and love coming from your brothers and sisters because you've got so much going on in your mind. And it took me back to Mother Carol mentioned knowing your role, and I thought about that as they spoke last night on Ask the Elect, and they said you really have to be in love with your role, and you can't desire to be in the stead of the man. And when you desire something that's out of order, then you can't receive what is actually for you. So when you've been operating in a masculine spirit, then it's more difficult than for you to walk in the way the Most High has created you to be as a woman, feminine. And you can't get there unless you're first honest with yourself. You have to understand that there's an issue with the way you've been operating. And once you're honest with yourself and you make the proper confessions to yourself and to the Most High, then you can move forward to receive whatever it is with gladness. You have to operate in a state of humility and not a false humility, because just like Mother was just speaking about, you know, it's like you can't hear a compliment because you're so busy already thinking about negative things about yourself, and you say it in a way so nobody else points it out first. You can't operate in a false humility either. And then it's necessary to repent for these things, for these thoughts, for making even an idol of yourself, because if you're so busy thinking about all these negative things about yourself, like how are you even serving the saints? So you need to get over yourself first and understand that somewhere you've made an idol of yourself and you put yourself above all the other things going on. And then you should renounce those things as well and forgive yourself and then move on in deliverance if that be necessary from there. And then I think you would be able to really receive with gladness from there.
I know that each of you think about yourself, and I want to hear about it. When you think about yourself, Mother Carol, when you're in your quiet time with the Father, because that is the reflection of self, because you're bringing yourself before the Father to make you a better you, to line up with his words, I want to hear about it. How would you approach him with the negative things? What would you say?
I think you... Any of us have to, when you go before the Most High, and my main goal is to go to him in humility, the utmost humility. Humility is not negativity towards yourself, but it's knowing where you are compared to the Most High Yah.
Lowly.
So that's that's how I come, because, you know, our pattern, of course, is the Messiah and how he came. So I place myself in spiritually, naturally, fleshly, in a place of humility so that the Most High sees that I'm an open book. I want to receive from you. I know who I am under you, so I want to be able to receive from you. So that's how I come, and that's how you should come before him and without your mental thoughts. And I do always recommend for several daughters of Zion that I've spoken to about prayer. You know, so oftentimes you think you just have to go in and just start talking. When so often you should just stay still to get your mind clear, to make sure you're in a humble state, because otherwise it's just words if you're not in the proper position for Yah to be able to hear you. But just getting your mind to a still place where there's just nothing there, and it's very hard to do. I remember Pastor had us doing an exercise about just stilling your mind with nothing so that you can be able to receive the Most High. And most people couldn't even get to a minute with nothing going on in their mind. So that's something that I've practiced over the years, to try to get to a place of nothingness where there's just a stillness in my mind so that I can receive them with humility. So I think that's the first step.
All right. We'll come back around to how negative thoughts impact you, Mother Carol, if you'll be thinking on that. But I'm going to jump to you, Mother Jennifer, as well. When you consider yourself before the Father and when you take yourself before prayer, what is that like? And then please add on to that the self-reflections that you have in the proper mindset when you know that you're not lining up or measuring up.
Yes, ma'am. The self-reflection for me is that, you know, I never want to misrepresent him. I know that I carry his name, that he has given me his name, and it's not something to be taken lightly. So when I go before him, I truly ask him to transform and to change me, to change my mind. And Pastor brought this up last night. You know, who asks for his will? And that is something that that I do ask for, because I know it is something that he does give. You know, Father, I don't have the perfect will that I need to have in this area, but I need yours. I never want to misrepresent him. I always want to be the example that I need to be. So when I fall short, it's something that I take seriously, because it is a misrepresentation of him. I never want to point the finger at anyone else in that time. You know, I don't want to blame anyone else because of my shortcomings or because I've fallen short. So it's all about me and where I've fallen short, and just really getting everything online and being able to move forward, not to stay in that state and not to wallow in self-pity, but it's just about getting what I need so that I can be what I need to be for him. Sister Ashley?
Thank you for those words. And add-ins, back to you, Mother Chris, same question, same focus. I just want to ask you how you approach the Father with the things that you know are not right about you, and how is it that you can continually confess the wrong and meditate and self-reflect on how you don't line up continually over and over, but still love yourself?
Hallelujah. I think this is a very important conversation that's happening right now, because so often we as women can be very, those of us who really are striving and really do love the Father, we can be really, really hard on ourselves. And I talk to sisters about it all the time. You can desire change. You can be in a place of godly sorrow, and that will lead you to repentance. But you should never be in a state of condemnation, because we already understand that if we're in Christ Jesus, then there's now no condemnation for us. So we should know that that's just a tool of Hasatan to really just keep us oppressed. And so when I go to the Father, I go to him, like Mother Carol said, in humility, in all humility, and understanding that I could go with a whole bunch of words, but the Father already knows my heart, so it's no point to do that. I just go to him and confess those things that I know are not in his will. I know it's not his way, and I repent for it. Even if I see things, and that's why community is so beautiful, because you can see things in others, and it should put you in a place where you can reflect on that for your own self, and not to say, oh, that sister's so jacked up in this area. You can receive it and say, Father, you know, how do I operate this way? Or I've realized that I've also operated in this way, Father, and I need to be better. I need to be more of a vessel for you, and I need to change. And you go to him, like I said, with humility and repentance, and you renounce those ways so you can be different, so he can come into you and change you, and you can be transformed, and you can truly be molded into what he has for you, instead of just being in a place, like Mother Jennifer said, where you're just wallowing in self-pity and condemnation, and the Father can't do anything for you, because really, it's just like a, how can you grow in that state? You know, you can use those experiences and really grow and become so much better from it. And I think about Pastor Dallas said so many times that the teacher has actually failed more times than the student. So especially if you're out there as an example, you're going to have more opportunities to fail, but you can really change that and use that to be, like I said, more of a vessel for the Most High.
Beautiful wisdom. Thank you. Mother Carol, could you share your thoughts before I ask the next question?
Belief in Yah's repentance is key, because if you're repenting before the Most High and you truly believe that his forgiveness is real, like his word says, then you'll believe that he will throw it off into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again, and then not bring it up again. So I think part of it is truly having belief in what repentance really is. It means total and complete forgiveness, if you repent truly from your heart, because he knows that as well.
Yes, and when you repent truly from your heart, that might be a season of repenting truly from your heart in that area. That season
Absolutely.
Could be these 3 days or the next 3 weeks or the next 6 weeks, but that season is repentance and focusing on that.
And it can unearth other things. You know, you repent for one thing and then you realize, oh, okay, I have fell short in this area as well. So it opens up a whole can of things that you need to repent for, which is the beauty of repentance, because he shows us what we need to do and what we have to rid ourselves from to be able to get into his kingdom.
And repentance shouldn't be another reason to be negative or another reason to hate yourself.
Absolutely.
When it's
Absolutely.
The goodness of Yah that leads us to repent, because who you, you know, are transformed into and who you become is the love and the mercy from the beginning. And it doesn't have the same feeling as self-hate. It doesn't have the same feeling as self-pity. So repent, repent, repent. All right.
And after repentance is ugly.
Yes.
True repentance is really ugly.
Yes.
It's not pretty. It's it's getting down into the muck and in the dirt. But then when you come out of that repentance, you should feel a lightness, a refreshing, a sense of being forgiven. And you should have that, you know, going forward. So true repentance will bring about something much more beautiful than what you're in when you do it.
And it's been a part of you, but it's not you.
Right.
And so you don't have to hate you for the thing that is not you.
Absolutely.
You're shedding, by repenting, you're shedding the thing that you don't want, that you're separating yourself from. So let's go to negative thinking, because it's easy to do. It's
Absolutely.
Very easy to do. So talk about it. Talk about how it affects us, Mother Carol.
Okay, well, we are spiritual beings, and we know that we're spiritual beings. Even when I explain to someone that does not know the Most High about how your flesh is affected by how you feel, how you think, one example that I always use is, have you ever been into a dark room, a basement, and just felt that eerie feeling come over you? That was a spirit of fear. Or done something really grave and felt like you were in trouble and your stomach gets all twisted up in knots and nausea comes about. That's a quick reaction to fear, anxiety, stress. So we know that thoughts and things affect the body. And I did jot down just a few. There are so many examples, but I did jot down just a few that I have had dealings with a lot of the daughters of Zion in deliverance and working through prayers and things with them on just some how negativity will affect you and affect you in your body. And one of the things, even a Charlie horse or a muscle cramp is a result of a negative thought from my research and from my dealing with daughters in deliverance. Warts is a belief that one is unworthy. So warts could, I'm not saying these are the only reasons why you have these issues or concerns or anything, but your thoughts can affect you in these areas. Ulcers, even a doctor would tell you that ulcers are from anxiety and stress and worry, but that's also caused by negative thoughts as well. Cysts, lumps, bumps on the skin come from feelings of unworthiness. Okay, anorexia and bulimia. Anorexia is punishing oneself, feeling not worthy. Bulimia, guilt, and then rewarding yourself and then punishing yourself because of the guilt that because you rewarded yourself. All of those things are rooted in negativity and self-hatred. Low blood pressure was even giving up on life. So extreme low blood pressure just because, you know, life is in the blood. And so if the blood pressure gets down so low, to it could be coming from a negative thought. And this one I had not dealt with, but when I looked it up, I was really surprised. But shingles and hives are from anxiety and fear, and that's from the disease, the autoimmune disease, but that's coupled with involving self-rejection. So those are just some of the examples of how the negativity, how the things in your thoughts can affect you in your body and cause sicknesses and diseases. But he said he has not laid these upon us as he has upon the Egyptians. So
praise God. Thank you for that. We are not medical doctors, and it's only by our experiences, our own personal experiences,
yes.
Mother Carol's personal relationship with the Father that would lead and direct her even in her own studies. So got to put that caveat, that disclaimer out there. You want to add to that, that you're not a medical doctor?
Absolutely. These are just things that when you're dealing with people in deliverance and you know it's not them and these spirits are telling you that that's what this is, then you have no, you pretty much do believe them because they're, to be honest, a lot of times in deliverance, the spirit is telling the truth. It's telling the truth. It's blaming the person as to why that they're there. So that's why the demons will throw you under the bus. Oh, she feared, or oh, she did this, or she's not worthy, all of these things. So they're actually giving you so many clues as to why the person has received that. And then a lot of times you can work on them for forgiving themselves or forgiving whatever it is in the deliverance, or coming out of it and being able to go a little deeper. So it's really key.
I consider Shabbat message of faith, and I'm glad that the early years of faith building on this community was my firm foundation that I can still stand on with the Messiah as of now. He is the keeper of my soul, and most definitely those early years were very, very important for me. As I have increased in faith, and I expect great things from the Father I always have for myself and for his people, I do want to say that I believe that he knows the answers to everything under the sun for all of our bodies. And that's an acknowledgement mentally and on a soul level that can carry you to your answers,
yes.
That can carry you through waiting.
Yes.
When you've leaned to the arm of the flesh and you've leaned to the physicians of this world so much, maybe without balance, and now trying to put your faith and trust in the Father as you endure pain, afflictions, things that come upon the body, it happens, you know, the things that we experience within our own flesh, it happens. So just want to put that out there that, you know, as these negative thoughts affect our body, as I humorously said to you, you're not my physician, but yet I've sought you so many times, Mother. I tell everybody that she's not a medical doctor just so you know that this is coming from my personal experience, and she doesn't have a PhD, but yet I've sought her like that many times when this is the issue, this is what I got going on, this is what I need help with, what say you, you know? And that's really those people who have spent time with the Father that you seek them out, almost like a physician, like, I need you to guide me in this, you know? And I think for those of us who are in those places, it's very weighty to have someone in front of you even a show like this and you guys each, you know, talking to them, they're banking on your relationship with the Most High. Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're banking on your information and your wisdom right here and right now to guide them or chart their course. And someone is saying, man, the Father is speaking to me through this, you know. And that's really a lot of, that's a weight, you know what I mean? Like, that's how serious we take this show. I know I said a lot. I'm not going to ask you a question, Mother Jennifer, but share what has come to mind in our dialogue.
You know, it's very true that the body is going to follow whatever is fed to the mind. So if you're feeding the mind a bunch of negativity, your body is going to follow. If you're attacking your mind with a bunch of negativity, your body is going to end up attacking itself. So I remember it was mentioned last night that feelings and emotions can override the truth if you allow it. And I believe Pastor Muir talked about this. He was talking about how your feelings and your emotion, if you allow it, will override the truth. And so we really need to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit to understand when your feelings are communicating to you over the truth of Yah, because you have to understand that there is there's an effect that it has on your body. So you have to learn how to keep your mind focused so that your body can be in perfect and good health. You have to learn how to step back and reevaluate everything when you know that your emotions are not in order. When your emotions are trying to communicate to you over the word of Yah, you have to go back, and this is why it's important to have the word of Yah in your heart so that you can quickly recall it and quickly get your mind back in order so that your body can prosper and your body can be in good health as your spirit does. Sister Ashley?
I appreciate those words. I know our listeners do. As a man or woman thinks, so is he. The verse was shared in the chat room. That's true. Another sister post, this couldn't have had come at a better time. I'm in tears right now on how Yah is using this broadcast to speak to me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it is about hearing and applying. So you're going to take this broadcast and you're going to begin to love you, period, right now, today, right? And it's a war. You're engaging with an enemy who wants you to hate you and who is determined to make you feel that torment. And feelings for all of us are very real at times.
Yes.
Very driven, very strong, and gaining victory when that strength of that feeling presents itself,
mm-hmm.
you lean to the arm of Yah.
Absolutely.
Because he alone is the one that can give you strength beyond that carnal strength that a feeling presents. Do you
Absolutely.
Have anything to say?
Absolutely. No, that was absolutely perfect. But I did want to say, I remember, Pastor, many, many years ago when Ashley was speaking of the faith from the foundation, we were not and never were anti-doctor. We were just anti-doctor for disease management. And in saying that, I remember he used to always say, now, if you're in a car accident and one leg is on the other side of the road, I expect you to go to the doctor and stitch it back on. So it's not because we know that diseases, because the word speaks about diseases, and because we know that that is affected by the thoughts, the things that take place in the mind. But I don't want anyone to think that they can't, you know, go to a doctor if need be. Use discernment. Lean to the Father for what you know that you can.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Always with balance. Thank you. And now for Mother Chris, let's go to you, your thoughts as you've listened to us.
Hallelujah. I think about myself as a mother raising sons and daughters, and how much our own self-hatred impacts our children, and that's another reason why we should be very motivated to deal with these things and make sure we expose the Hasatan for what he is and bring these things to the forefront, because these are things that can, you know, go down our bloodline to our children, excuse me, and then their children, and we in turn, you know, would be teaching our children self-hatred and to hate themselves. And we talked earlier just about the worldly things that we've brought into our lives. And if we don't shed our ourselves of those things completely, again, those are things that our children would learn and then also learn to hate themselves through that worldly vanity. And even the things that we say out loud about ourselves, you know, the comments that Mother Carol, I believe, mentioned earlier about our nose or about our, you know, I got nappy hair, or whatever it is that you speak and perpetuate about yourself, these are things that your daughters hear, you know, and these are things that could teach them to hate those things, you know, that Yah would say he created you fearfully and wonderfully, but, you know, your children will hear those things and internalize them as well. I have that same nose, they might think. And those things would impact them and generations down the line in that same negative way. And I also think about how we as parents should be very sober in how we speak to our children in a way that we don't tear them down and discourage them, because they're children, they're learning, but we want them to be perfected, even though we're not perfected. So we pick apart the things we see about them, and in turn, it breaks down, you know, their self-confidence. And so we have to be very sober as to what we speak over our children about who they are and who they're becoming. And the same way we walk, come into this walk as babes, you know, in the faith, and we're learning ourselves now in the Messiah. And if we had constantly just that discouragement being spoken over us, you know, how far would we really get? You know, so it's important that along the way that we help to mold them, that we train them, that we teach them, that we guide them, but we don't discourage them and pick them apart and in our effort to try to make them who into who we think they should be and not who the Messiah is growing them into.
That's a mic drop really for me. I'm so passionate towards the children, and so passionate towards not dragging them down or making them less than who they can be, you know. I do believe, and I'm just sharing my own heart for a moment, I really do believe that it's a huge requirement for my soul that I will stand before the Creator on what I did or said in front of children, on what I poured into them or not, or what they saw me be or not. And that's just my personal conviction, and you know, nothing really hits my spirit more than to talk like that. Mother Chris, they are the generation that I put my hope in serving the Most High Yah. So with that said, you said earlier, Mother Carol, you said earlier, belief in repentance. That was your phrase, belief in repentance. So I'm going to ask you, you mean there can be unbelief in repentance?
Absolutely. I believe if you repent without really knowing that you've been forgiven, there's not a belief in it. Because if we believe his word, and he says, if you repent truly from your heart, and then, of course, the fruits are there that are manifest is whether you return back to the sin or if you truly come out of it. And that's one of the ways that you'll even know for your own self is that if you've repented for something, you'll never revisit that again. If you don't really have belief that you've been forgiven, you're more prone to be a repeat offender. Is that what it's the term? Mm-hmm. A repeat offender in that sin. And then we don't want to mock our Most High Yah because his repentance is so merciful. He's so merciful to us, and to not believe in what he said he would do as far as forgiving us is mocking his forgiveness and mocking his mercy.
Mother Jennifer, talk to me about unbelief and repentance, hinging off of Mother Carol's words, of course. How can I kneel before him, talk to him? How can I drive down the road and sing to him? How can I walk on the road and talk to him? How can I kneel and speak to this Creator that I don't see, that I'm trying to put my belief in, who doesn't have my mind? How can I continue to lower myself and put my full belief in my repentance to continually put that work in and day out and have him on my mind and not myself? Tell me more.
It's all about understanding your covenant with him. You know, once you understand your relationship, your covenant with him, then you begin to understand who he is to you. You know, that you understand that he is your savior, he is your salvation. Then the repentance really becomes real because you understand that the only one that can truly forgive you and change you is him. There's no one else. And when there's no other option, there's no one else, then you begin to understand that he is the one that you want to drive down the road and sing to, that you want to kneel before. He is the one that you want to serve. He is the one that you want to please. But it has to be all him, completely him, or nothing. Like there's nothing to go back to. There's nothing to turn to. There's no other option at all. It's just him. So I hope that makes sense, Sister Ashley.
Well said. Thank you, Mother Chris. Can you add your thoughts?
Yes, ma'am. I believe that a lot of times when we're in that, or when women find themselves in that place of condemnation, it's easy to believe that Yahweh's grace isn't sufficient for you. But for everybody else, you know, he'll do it for you, sis. You know, he died for you, sis. But, you know, his blood is good for you. It covers your sins. But when it comes to me and the things that I've done, for some reason, you know, we can believe that it's not enough to cover our sins or our faults. And again, going back to Mother Jennifer, that's why it's just so vital that you do have that personal relationship with the Most High. It's just so important because, and when you're in the Word and you see what it says, then you know that it is for you as well. You know, salvation is for you as well. You know, his love is for you as well. And you are the apple of his eye as well. You know, and you start to accept these truths for your own self. It's harder to receive it when you're in that state of self-hatred, because self-hatred in itself is a very murderous spirit, and we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can kill you in your confidence in the Father, if he can destroy any kind of faith you have in Yah to do these things for you as well, and if he can steal your joy, then Satan wins. You know what I mean? If Satan can get you to have destructive thoughts about yourself, you know, then in turn, then you might turn around and that's how you view the Father. So you can't walk in the gift of salvation and joy that the Most High has given to you because you're just in that destructive state. So once you really do learn the Father for who he is and embrace that for your own self, then you can walk in the fullness of life.
Satan will destroy you internally by consuming you with what you believe others are thinking of you. Even if it's just one person, mm-hmm. Possibly that person is the one that no matter what you do, they won't love you, whether perceived or not. Maybe it's more than one, but he can get you to destructively think and think negatively about yourself because what you're doing isn't pleasing someone else. And that focus will leave you self-absorbed and self-consumed, mm-hmm. and self-destroyed and still focusing too much on self, mm-hmm. right? Even though Satan's trying to put it like the focus of what he, she, and her and him is thinking is what you're thinking about, but you're really thinking about you. You're really focused on self again, right? So when we serve a true and living, upright, and holy God, Almighty Elohim, who doesn't think as corruptible man may think, And you also have to, at times, get your isolation with just him, get your mind with just his, get your understanding lined up with just his, and then all the relationships around you can be seen clearly. Mother, I always say Mother Jennifer because she's my co-host on a week-to-week basis, but I'm jumping to you, Mother Carol. Do you want to add?
No, very good words. And even in that, focusing so much on self will keep you from being able to receive the love of Yah. And even the term self-hatred, mm-hmm. is focused on self,
mm-hmm.
instead of having or focusing on what someone thinks of you or what you perceive they think of you and all of these things. If you have yourself in a position to where you're pleasing to Yah, naturally you're going to please your husband, you're going to please your brothers and sisters around you, you're going to please those that are over you. And just having that mindset, we just have to get to that place where we're focused on what Yah thinks so that we can play out our roles to perfection.
And Yah's pleasure, or even our leadership's pleasure, or our husband's pleasure, is not wrapped up in you burning bread.
Oh no,
or
absolutely.
You not ironing something,
right,
or
right.
You didn't cook this right. You didn't, what, you know, the menial things that happen in the flesh. Yah is not that shallow.
Absolutely.
You know, his love is not, you know, the perfection that you strive for in the flesh should be there. That should be a part of your disciplined flesh. The submission in your flesh and the obedience and the agreeableness that you have towards your husband or your leaders should be there. That makes no excuse, you know. But at the same time, when those failures are there, Yah's pleasure and love is not wavered. Mm-hmm. You know, it wavers with your willful disobedience and your rebellion, right? But his love is just, it's what? Talk about his mercy.
And knowing that we have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity, if we truly understood his mercy, and we're blessed that we have husbands that are merciful to us when we do burn the bread or do forget to do something and things like that, and it shows us Yah's mercy, how great it is, and even on an even greater scale, how so oftentimes, and reading in accounts where there have been things in the earth and things in the sun and the moon and the stars and the water and the seas that have wanted to destroy humanity, and Yah would not let them because of his mercy. So I really think that we really don't understand his depths, and I think that helps on repentance when you, going back to that, when you truly realize how merciful he is. You don't test him to the limits of his mercy, but because of his mercy and because it is so great, you don't want to do anything to displease him.
True. Ever. Mother Jennifer, add to that.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's important, Sister Ashley, that you mentioned having that time of isolation with him, so that you can understand and know who you are in him. You can know your value in him. You can understand what his mercies are. You know, the times that you mess up and you're hard on yourself, you really have to reel yourself back in and say, okay, Father, it's because of your mercies that I'm not consumed, and I know that your compassions don't fail. I'm going to hope in you. You're my portion. I'm thankful, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. So you have to speak to yourself and understand that your value is in who he says that you are. And like Mother Carol said, it's important to know that you are actually pleasing Yah. It has nothing to do with anybody else being pleased except for your husband. But as far as the opinions of others, you know, I think women in the world are taught so much to care about the opinions of everybody else, trying to please everybody else. And this is what causes all the psychotic behavior, all of the mind games, you know, because everybody, this woman wants everybody to be pleased. And the only one that needs to be pleased is the father and her husband if she's a married woman. That's it. So we have to really get back to focus on his compassion, his mercy, and what that is. And we don't understand what it is because we don't even know how to extend it. But once you start extending it to others, then you'll understand it. You'll understand that, okay, I'm receiving mercy every day, and I'm not even acknowledging it. So start acknowledging his mercy. Start acknowledging the fact that he's not a shallow Yah at all, that he's very merciful, he's very compassionate, and then you'll learn how to extend that same thing to others. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Well said, as always. Mother Chris, your mind, your thoughts?
Yes. I was thinking about earlier how we talked about not being able to receive compliments because of the self-hatred. And I think about, in turn, self-hatred can cause you to not be able to see the good in others. It's more difficult to compliment others because you're so wrapped up in self. And that's what brought me back to that when that was mentioned just a minute ago. It's the self-hatred. It's the perfectionism that you may be trying to walk in, but really it's just to your own detriment. And you see those good qualities in other people, and instead of being able to compliment or show them love in that regard or give them encouragement, you really, it's just something that continues to feed the self-hatred within yourself. And that can be very detrimental to women in relationships. And that's why you hear a lot of women in the world say, oh, I can't have female friends, or I never had female friends. And it's because women are so busy comparing themselves amongst themselves. And it's not in a way that should inspire you to be better, you know, to strive for something greater or something that you see in someone else that, like, encourages you. It's just really something that inside either breeds competition just really causes you to hate your sister or hate other women because of the perceived lack that you see within yourself. So I think that's why, especially even in polygynous homes, you see that, or you can see that type of hatred brewing between sisters because the competition is there because of the self-hatred. I hope that makes sense.
It does make sense. I enjoy our conversation tonight. I want to give us a music break. And you guys, when we come back, may Yah lead us. We can wrap it up, you know, maybe make some side notes of things that you haven't said that you would like to say as we listen to the song. I also want to just ask each of you to please give me a concrete example of how you can get self off your mind. All right, we need to move past selfishness, self-hate, self-idolatry. Take a big jump and a big step away from that. So if you don't mind coming up with that, we'll be right back.
Just one more.
It's me, Sister Ashley. I am interviewing Mother Carol, Mother Jennifer, and Mother Chris. I'm thankful that each of them are with me. If you've just now caught on, we're speaking about self-hatred. And I want to jump to you first, Mother Carol. Did anything come to mind? Can you give me a concrete example of how to get self off of your mind, how to get yourself off your mind?
Hallelujah. Well, because self-hatred and so many of the other self-spirits are wrapped up in you and wrapped up in yourself, first and foremost, my first recommendation is always to keep your mind focused on the Most High. I tell daughters of Zion, find a place that makes you think of Yah, whether it be water, whether it be hay fields is one of my things, whether it be the sun, the sky, the moon. Think on Yah. Think, get some place and to some point where you can think on him with your mind and your subconscious mind, because that is how you feed that subconscious mind. And the more you think on him, the more the negative thoughts won't have anywhere to go. They won't be able to be there because your thoughts are on the Most High. And because self is wrapped up in you, one way to combat it also is to be kind to others. Do something for someone else. Get the focus off of you. Be kind to another sister. Compliment another sister. If that's where you're struggling, go compliment somebody else. If you're struggling with receiving things for yourself, see how beautiful it is to be able to do. You release things when you do kindness for other people. There's chemical things in your brain that are released when you do acts of kindness, when you give, and all of these things. So operate in that and let the spiritual things that Yah has given us affect the body in that manner.
Beautiful. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. I have the exact same things written down. Focus on Yah and make it a common practice to serve others, and make sure that your intent behind serving others is actually pure. Pour into others and take the focus off of yourself so much. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Will do. Mother Chris, please add.
I also have the exact same things written down. Serve, and the opposite of hate is love, and we need to operate in agape love, which covers a multitude of sins.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we'll make our round one more time for each of you to end the show. I appreciate your time again and again. I mean that. I'm not just saying it because it's the words to say or the appropriate way to end the show at all. You know, there's always a distance between each of us, but I love you with all that I know how, and your homes as well, and your communities. So thank you for your time, Mother Carol. If you don't mind sharing your heart and ending the show from your seat.
Well, before I give my last scripture, Ashley, I did want to have a brief announcement, if that's okay.
Yes, let's go.
Those that have not already put your petition in to be able to participate in the Straightway Marketplace during Tabernacles, I have just a few tables left, so if you have not contacted me by email and gotten a response, please contact me. You can go to Straightway Help Meets and leave a message, or you can, if you have my number, you can do it that way by sending me a text or a polo or something, or you can go to songofjoy7000@yahoo.com, or you can go to info@care-elle.com if you want a swap. There are very few left. And I wanted to offer this one last scripture, Ashley, to make us really think about the bodies that we live in. And, of course, it's 1 Corinthians 6:19, and I'm reading out of the New Revised Standard Version. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from Yah, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yah in your body." Ashley?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Mother Chris, I'll go to you next to end the show from your seat and all the way there in Goshen. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for being willing. And, yes, we will hear from you again next week, Mother Chris. Yes, we will. Because next week is really the week that I'm not going to be with you guys. But, Mother Chris, talk to me. Wrap it up and share your heart.
Hallelujah. I'm going to read from Ephesians 5:29, from also the New Revised Standard Version. that no man hates himself. He takes care of his own body the way Christ does. He cares for his body, which is the church. We are all a part of his body, the church. So if we just meditate on those things, this is what the word says, and attack even the slightest thought that is contradictory to the order and the mind of Yah. Hallelujah.
Beautiful, Mother Chris. Bless you, and thank you so much. You are dismissed. I'm going to jump to Mother Jennifer now. And Mother Jennifer, go ahead and give us some thoughts to end the show from your end, as well as where to find the Be a Blessing list for this year's
yes,
feast.
Yes, ma'am. The Be a Blessing list can be found on YouTube, and you can find that on the Straightway TV YouTube channel. So I'll read it briefly. Hefty Supreme 8.5-inch plates, Hefty Supreme 12-ounce bowls, plastic spoons and forks, 12-ounce foam cups, sunflower and olive oil, Hefty Supreme foam large to-go containers, Viva signature cloth paper towels, Vanity Fair napkins, gallon-sized freezer Ziploc bags, and 50-gallon contractor bags. You can find that list on YouTube, Straightway TV. And I just want to give my final thoughts. I wanted to go back to what was mentioned last night about women studying their role. It is very important to study your role from the biblical standpoint, according to what the Bible says that your role should be. Women have a lack of love for their role, and self-hate can stem from not understanding, not having a love for your role, and not being content in who Yah created you to be and the role that he created for you to actually fulfill. And society has taught that, you know, roles should be reversed for a woman. And so women are coveting a man's role. They have this I can do what he does type of mentality. And so when you start coveting, you have to remember that sin is very progressive. You know, it can eventually progress to bitterness, and then you'll end up with murder in your heart. The devil wants to make sure that you are destroyed. So we have to make sure that we are content in our role and that we study our role. I thought that was a very good point that was brought out last night. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Remember that none of us are worthy to open the books. It is sealed. Only our Messiah can open it up. He alone is worthy. There is no one else worthy. Mother Carol, Mother Chris, Mother Jennifer, myself, we are not worthy.
Absolutely.
But you don't let your mind negatively, destructively tear you down in unworthiness, because we are all in need of the blood, right? Hallelujah. No requirement for the blood, just change and love the Most High. I hope you guys have gained a lot of this. Even I have gotten a lot of nuggets to stick in my purse and walk away with and really think and reflect on. So I appreciate these moments. The Most High Yah is very sincere, even gracious, allowing us to conversate before you, to put our experiences into words and hopefully edify you, so that we can walk away and change. We really can. We can walk away and make drastic changes in ourselves. As far as getting self off of your mind, they all said it. I'll just repeat it. When you catch self being on your mind, go get up, go do something for someone else, you know. Make something for someone else, cook something for somebody else, fold something for somebody else, go serve someone else, do someone else's job, their stewardship, you know, check on someone else. They mentioned it. Encourage someone else. If you can't receive compliments, then give them, and it'll teach you how to receive them. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed the show. Mother Carol, anything to say?
No, I just thank the Father for Pastor Dow, who's been leading us through this journey. And all the leaders, I just bless all of them and their families. Very grateful.
Hallelujah. Bless you all. Good night.
Yahweh. Thank you.